Welcome back to the Cabin Podcast. This is episode 231, and today we're hitting the road.
By bike, that is.
Road bike, to be exact.
Exactly. And we'll be exploring more than just bike routes. These routes traverse Wisconsin's old railroad tracks. So gear up for a little history and exploration as we put foot to pedal to discover Wisconsin by road bike.
Don't forget that helmet.
The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Kewaunee County, named roughly from a Menominee term for a specific kind of duck. Kewaunee County was organized in 1859, whack, whack, and the northern end of Kettle Moraine along the Niagara Escarpment is in Kewaunee County. It's part of the southern end of the Door Peninsula also, so it's right there as part of the escarpment. A lot of popular fishing charters go off the coast of Kewaunee, which once had it ferry all the way to Michigan, by the way. Area does rank first in the state for their Chinook salmon catch. It's part of the new National Marine Sanctuary that was recently established on the Lake Michigan off the coast of Wisconsin. The nautical waters of Kewaunee County contain at least 24 known Lake Michigan shipwrecks.
Ooh.
And speaking of ships and boats, the Tug Ledington is an actual tug anchored in the waters in downtown Kewaunee in the little marina there. It's a very cool museum boat right now. You can check it right off Highway 42. Across the way, you'll see the world's tallest grandfather clock, which is right downtown at the southern trailhead of the Onapee State Trail, which is a rail-to-trail bike trail that goes from Algoma and Kewaunee through into Door County.
Okay. Nice relation back to the episode, Eric.
Yes, it's also part of the Ice Age Trail. Talking about that too in other episodes. And that area is a big Belgian community. Algoma and Luxembourg, huge. Booyah, a very popular dish there. Ever heard of booyah?
No.
Jay, California guy?
Mm-mm.
It's basically kind of like a soup and a stew.
Ooh.
Thing. Lots of chicken, lots of vegetables.
I can get down with that.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
Great winery there called Parallel 44 near Stangleville. And Thumb Knuckle Brewing is in Luxembourg. And in Algoma, you have Von Steel Winery and Onapee Brewing, which just moved into some new space. And downtown Algoma, there's some great shopping, a lot of cool murals. It's very much an old school fishing village town and very, very fun to check out.
And, cute.
Yeah. So Kewaunee County, on your way to the door, just east of Green Bay.
The Cabin is also brought to you by Jolly Good, and we are about to listen to an interview with Nicole.
The Cabin is brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, a Wisconsin classic and family favorite for generations. And with me is marketing manager, Nicole Depies. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. So, you know, we're heading into summer. It was kind of an odd winter, and now we're heading into summer, which is Jolly Good and summer just go together like kibbles and bits, don't they?
Absolutely, they do.
So what do you have going on this summer coming up? There's all kinds of good flavors and specials and things like that, right?
Yeah, we are excited to announce that at the end of 2023, we were able to land statewide distribution with the Wisconsin Beverage Network, which means we will now have access to all of the counties in Wisconsin, which means you'll be able to find Jolly Good, well, basically wherever you look for it.
Very nice. Now, yeah, it's always been available mainly southeastern Wisconsin, right? But now all over the state. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So we have primarily been in the southeast part of the state in Piggly Wiggly, Woodman's, Festival Foods, Sendex locations. We also, at the end of 2023, went into all Roundy's markets as well.
Pick and Save, nice.
Yes, Pick and Save as well. So with that expanded distribution, we got to go into that network as well. So we are very excited to be able to bring you your favorite flavors basically wherever you're looking for it.
All right. So for the people who are just, they've been hearing about Jolly Good on the Cabin, they're just able to experience it at their local store and buy it now, and maybe say northwestern Wisconsin, what should they know? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the best mixers with the flavors?
Obviously the Sour Power with an Old Fashioned.
Yes.
I mean, that's a Wisconsin staple. It goes well. It'd be a whiskey sour or brandy sour Old Fashioned, or you could just leave it as a whiskey sour, brandy sour. Most of our flavors, from what I'm told, just mix very well together with your standard vodka. So You can create whatever you'd really like to create that way. Otherwise, if you're looking for some other drink ideas, we do have some on our YouTube channel. Actually, y'all were wonderful enough to help us kind of create those videos. So they are out there for you to learn some different mixology drinks.
Those are fun to drink, make. And Jolly Good Soda, which comes in those cool cans, all the different flavors, we don't have time to go through them all, but I mean, the favorites are root beer, cherry, sour power, orange. And the diet line is completely caffeine free, calorie free, and just fantastic if you're trying to get that summer body going.
100% working on that summer bod.
All right. Well, make sure you look for Jolly Good. Where else can they find it in other parts of the state? Now, any other stores we haven't talked about before?
The only other one I'm thinking of is Hy-Vee. If you have one of those in your locations, otherwise we are expanding out to convenience store locations as well. So if you don't see it in your local store, make sure you talk to the store manager and they should be able to reach out to their beverage distributor, and we should be able to get some in there for you.
So great that entire new generations in other parts of Wisconsin are going to get to discover Jolly Good, just like we discover Wisconsin. And from the mixer standpoint or from the picnic standpoint, it's perfect for everything for summer. So look for it at your local store, just like Nicole said. And that's an order from me, too. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
Whoa, is that the fire coming from your guys' bikes?
How fast do you think we ride?
I don't know.
You got me. You got me. I'm flying.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You could have like little jetpacks on them now these days. Have you guys seen the kids with the hoverboards?
Yeah.
Those are wild.
There's a whole slew of them now. There's the one wheel ones where it's the big one wheel and you kind of lean forward and backwards.
Oh,
and
I've seen those.
See, I thought you were going to go in the direction of the faux hawk helmets. You know, they sell at Target, the little spiky rubber. I feel like kids have them everywhere and they've had them for like past couple decades now.
They also have big poofy hair on the front now. I don't know.
The kids or the helmets?
The kids.
Oh.
The helmets cover that up.
I was talking about the helmets.
The helmets would be pretty funny if they had like wigs. You could have like whatever hair coming out.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would like that. All right, let's jump on some trails. Where do we want to start? Madison?
Yeah, let's start in our backyard.
Sounds good to me. This is one actually in the summer I go on probably every other day.
Wow.
It's the Capital City State Trail. It's a 13.5-mile point-to-point trail. It goes through the downtown area. So I take kind of an interesting route because it's not all along the Capital City State Trail, but it does connect to other trails, one of them being the Capital City State Trail. And it is an awesome area, especially if you want to hop onto the Monona bike loop around downtown Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of connects to a bunch of different bike trails, but it's just really cool. It's got, you know, areas where it goes through prairie land. It runs over by kind of that Lusher Heritage Center, that campground over that way. I mean, you just see so much wildlife on the trail. I've seen deer. I've seen tons of different birds. And then it goes, you know, parts of it go right along the train track. And it's just an awesome bike trail that really traverses a lot of different terrain.
Well, it's a neat way to cut through the heart of the city that you can't do by car.
Yes, this is very true. And you can actually get, like, if you're going to a coffee shop and the bike path is by your house, you can easily just hop on this bike path and head to any, you know, bakery, coffee shop or whatever, straight downtown. I've gone there on Saturdays and it's awesome to just get right downtown and be at the farmer's market on your bike, especially because when you at the Capitol and then you go down State Street, it's a downhill and you can just let loose and, you know, take your hands off the handlebars.
Here's a question. When you go to the farmer's market with your bike, do you park your bike and walk around or do you kind of walk your bike around to the different vendors?
If I'm stopping and want to actually go to the farmer's market, I will park my bike because it's really annoying for other. Otherwise, you have to kind of like go in the street.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to walk your bike in the farmer's market in Madison. It's just too busy. But this is a popular trail for road biking. It's also popular for snowshoeing and running. I've ran along this trail and it's awesome. It's some people would say it's moderately challenging. So definitely depends on the type of bike you have and your biking ability. But it's open year round. Dogs are welcome, but they must be leashed. I think that you have to have a bike permit to be on the bike path.
Yeah, a lot of the trails you have to check and see if you need a state permit. I know once you get further kind of towards like the Monona area, you start seeing it on the bike paths over there. So it's definitely worth checking into.
Part of it's the jurisdiction. There's state trails and there's some county bike trails too. And some require passes, some don't. I know your next one does.
Yep. Yeah. That one, we'll get into a couple others that are near the Madison area, but a little bit further east. But this Capital City State Trail is about 4 hours and 15 minutes to complete. Granted, you don't have to bike all of it.
Depends on your speed though.
Yeah, that is true. Totally depends on your speed and your bike. But let's go somewhere a little bit further east, more towards the Milwaukee area.
Yeah, we're kind of doing a discontinuous description of one thing that you could make a nice long trail run on. So you're in Madison with the Capital City. I'm in Milwaukee with the Hank Aaron State Trail.
And there are bike paths that will connect them all together.
Yeah. And so if you're in Madison and the Capital City, There's some trails between Madison and Milwaukee we will get into, but if I jump over to Lake Michigan, you can start at the Hank Aaron State Trail and make your way west. Now, the Hank Aaron State Trail, obviously named after Hank Aaron, starts at the park in the lakefront at Summerfest, which is actually a state park, but it's the only one. You don't need a pass or there's no restricted entrance or anything. It's just a wide open artificial island that they built,
oh,
I think in the 80s or 90s. I remember before it was there.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so it's right by Discovery World, right by Summerfest, under the Hone Bridge, 794, and you can get a beautiful view of downtown, which with a couple of the new skyscrapers, it's just getting better and better looking down there. And so, and I used to run through that area the whole time. So the Hank Aaron State Trail starts there, kind of winds through the Third Ward on city streets before it gets onto some dedicated trail, which is along the Menominee River as you head west through the valley from downtown Milwaukee. And it winds around and right past American Family Field.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're within feet of the Hank Aaron statue. I've ridden my bike to Brewers games before.
That's awesome.
And you just use that trail. And so it's about 7 miles long and it winds west of the city, but then it connects with some of the other trails we'll be talking about that will allow you to really ride your bike between Milwaukee and Madison if you want to do, you know, all 85 miles or so.
The Cabin is brought to you by the WCA Group Health Trust. Serving local governments and school districts, the WCA Group Health Trust partners closely with members to fulfill their employee health benefit obligations in a fiscally responsible manner. Learn more at WCAGHT.org.
Yeah, Eric, do you know, because I couldn't find one when I was looking, do you know if there is a map online that shows each different trail with their names that are all connected? Where can we find that?
I don't know. I didn't know you were going to ask that question.
Well, we're going to find out for you guys, and we're going to put it in the show notes.
So the Hank Aaron State Trail technically ends towards Wauwatosa, but then you can connect. The Oak Leaf Trail is a 76 plus mile circular bike trail through Milwaukee County.
Mm.
So you can use that trail to connect to the New Berlin Trail, which is not a state trail. That just runs under power lines west from Greenfield Park in the west side of Milwaukee into Waukesha. Straight as an arrow. 6-7 miles. You go over the Subcontinental Divide, and the next thing you know, you can hook up with another trail that really does help connect you towards Madison.
Yeah, and this one is the Glacial Drumlin State Trail. And we, I don't think we highlighted this in Jefferson County. We highlighted the Glacial River State Trail.
Well, we've mentioned it because it literally cuts an east-west swath right through Jefferson County and Waukesha and into Dane.
Right. I just mean in the episode that I did with Andrea, we didn't bike on this trail, but we biked on a different one. But they have similar looking terrain. But the Glacial Drumlin State Trail is, I think, a little bit further north. But yeah, you can, you know, bike from Waukesha all the way to Madison. There's a couple different parts of the Glacial Drumlin State Trail. So if you look it up, you know, there's a section that's from Cottage Grove to Lake Mills. And it really is cool because it connects so much of the town and county. And there's so many cool places to stop along the way.
Uh-huh.
I remember when we were on one of the bike paths, you know, you could go from like Jones Dairy Farm and right across the street is a baseball field. And so, you know, you could hop on and off your bike and then just go to a baseball game. And there's just a bunch of little places like that. We went to Frosty Freeze, which is right along one of the trails. So these bike paths are really, really conducive to kind of connecting different businesses. So don't even pack a lunch. Just get on the bike trail and you'll find a spot to stop and have something to eat. But yeah, the Glacial Drumlin State Trail, Eric, do you know how long the whole thing is?
I think it's about 52 miles in total.
Wow.
And the thing is, because I picked it up a lot in Wales and gone west. Mm. So, you know, you're from Waukesha, you can go through Wales, and then you basically, when you cut across at 67, there's a couple places to stop and get a bite to eat. And then it kind of parallels US 18. So you go through Helenville, it's north of Jefferson, but you go and south of Johnson Creek, but you go right into the heart of, for example, Lake Mills. It's just south of the downtown, but by blocks across 89. And the old train station is a stop you can stop in. And then when you get into Cottage Grove, it goes into the heart of that town, but it also crosses at Helenville and some of these other places. So you have good access to all of those amenities along that route. It's like you're paralleling I-94, but about 5 miles to the south on average.
Mm-hmm. And what is cool about that is although you're going through these towns, it really is a rural bike path overall. So you're still going through iconic Wisconsin farmland and marshland and everything. And so it's really, really cool to see. But it's a pretty easy route and I would say fairly flat for the most part.
Yeah, generally. Another good stop is Sullivan. It goes right through the heart of downtown, you know, a little tiny Sullivan. But there's a lot of great little bars and restaurants down in there. And you do a little bit of the drumlins that kind of mm-hmm. make up the section of land between Madison and Milwaukee, where there's some rolling hills and everything, but it's nothing too challenging. It's not right. like the Driftless.
Mm.
And then you have some fertile, beautiful farmland and all these beautiful little towns. So it's a great way to experience what's between Madison and Milwaukee without zooming by on the interstate. You're putting foot to pedal, but also tire to ground, foot to ground, and really experiencing it. And if you want to make it a 2-dayer, you can. And that big Jefferson County Dog Park we've talked about so much, the trail crosses 26 right about where that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great dog park. It's huge. So if you're a pet lover or if you have a dog yourself, definitely get out there. And there's a whole website dedicated to the Glacial Drumlin Trail. I think it's just glacialdrumlintrail.com.
Yeah, glacialdrumlintrail.com is a really good site for that'll guide you through, including Dousman, which is the frog jumping capital of the world. Did you know that? Yeah. All kinds really? Of weird. You learn so many weird things. It also provides good access to Cambridge. They have a competition there.
Oh. Is it like humans frog jumping or is it
frogs jumping?
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Helenville, Delafield, Wales, Waukesha, goes through a bunch of towns. And of course, Lake Mills. Can't forget that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's the Glacial Drumlin Trail. Awesome if you want to get from Madison all the way over to the Milwaukee area. This is a really great connection.
You know, and actually, I know we were going to veer northwest, but why don't we complete this and go west of Madison? Because there's another trail you can hook up from Capital City and go even further through more challenging territory and terrain.
Yeah, and it's interesting because somebody told me this once, and I've never actually looked at the map, but they said that you can get from Madison all the way down to Iowa without really even leaving a bike trail.
Wow.
It's part of a network of systems that do that because it was part of a network of railroads mm-hmm. that would do that. Yeah. And a big chunk of that is
the Military Ridge State Trail, which is in Verona, or part of it at least is in Verona, but via Community Park. And this, so I actually used to live in Verona at the beginning-ish of COVID for a very short period of time. And I would walk along this trail or bike along this trail, and it was gorgeous. This definitely goes through a lot of farmland, but also different prairie land. And it's just really, really well maintained. It's definitely, I thought, an easy route. It takes about, this particular trail takes about 2 hours and 9 minutes to complete. But again, it's one of many kind of roads, trails that connects to a bunch of other ones that go throughout Wisconsin. And it's really popular for hiking, road biking, running. I don't know if they have cross-country skiing or if they have different things in the winter. A part of me thinks they might have cross-country skiing.
I think segments do.
Yeah. And then I think they might have snowshoeing as well. But it's just a really, really awesome trail for getting out to, you know, explore. But also there's like a bunch of little kind of creeks in the area. And there's little, you'll go across bridges. So that's a fun one. And you're really, in my opinion, in kind of the heart of what Wisconsin really is in this rural farmland.
Well, the history of it's great. I've ridden it on a bike from Verona to, actually, technically, it was Madison, through Verona to Mount Horeb. Because it goes right, I mean, you're right next to the Grumpy Troll and Duluth Trading and all that stuff. That's right in the heart of Mount Horeb, which is a great little town. And then it just continues because the Military Ridge itself, and 18 and 151 follows that all the way to Dodgeville. Then 18 follows it to Prairie du Chien. The Military Ridge is named after a high point in the landscape where north of it, the water flows into the Wisconsin. South of it, it flows into the Pecatonica and other rivers. And that's where they built, historically, you have Fort Howard in Green Bay and Fort Crawford in Prairie du Chien, which is why those are the two oldest cities in the state.
Mm.
And they built a road connecting the two in the early 1800s. Very difficult, you know, process. But the road, the Military Ridge Trail, follows roughly the path of that road from Prairie du Chien to Madison. And because then it would veer up and go towards Green Bay.
Did you say that you have biked that area?
I've biked the section from Madison, west side of Madison / Verona, over to Mount Horeb.
Okay.
I wanted to keep going, but there was beer to be had at Grumpy Troll, and I decided to focus on that.
Leave it to Eric.
Cabin is brought to you by Best Western, which has a bunch of wonderful hotels in Wisconsin, over 40 of them, including 5 in the Northeast region, like in Marinette, which is right downtown. The Derby Inn in Eagle River, handy for snowmobiling or anything in and around Eagle River. The Maritime Inn, right in the heart of Sturgeon Bay for all your Door County needs. The Green Bay Inn Conference Center in Green Bay, right next to Lambeau Field, right next to the Shopko, right next to the Rush Center, and everything you need in the Titletown District. And the Best Western Plus Concord Inn in Minocqua, also in the heart of downtown, with great access to all of the fun. All of the great activities are right outside your door at Best Western Hotels. Find out more at bestwestern.com. And don't forget to join the rewards program.
So this does not, nothing really connects to like the Paoli area, does it?
Well, no, you can angle down, but I don't know of a specific state trail that goes down there.
Okay.
But once you're down in that area, you know, south in Greene County, you have the Sugar River Trail. You have a whole bunch of great cheese country trail. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of wonderful trails in Greene County.
Yeah. Well, Sugar River State Trail. Let's jump over there.
Please, by all means. The Sugar River State Trail, 20-plus mile point-to-point trail in New Glarus, Wisconsin. And what else is in New Glarus, Wisconsin, Eric?
Oh, all kinds of Swiss stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And one of my favorite beer brewers.
Mm-hmm. New Glarus Brewing.
Absolutely.
And if you love wine, Bailey's Run. Mm. Fantastic winery on the west side of town.
Okay, I'm still growing into my wine. I'll get there one day. But the Sugar River State Trail is a pretty easy route. It takes roughly 6.5 hours to complete. It's a popular trail for backpacking, birding, mountain biking. And the best times to visit it are typically from March through November, as I believe. Outside of that, are the trails closed?
Generally, it's not good for biking. It's more conducive to things like snowshoeing and all. Well, this past winter, it wasn't, though.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, we had days in January and February. It was great to get out on your bike.
Yeah. So. But I would say if you're going to go to this trail, from what I've seen online, the fall colors are stunning. I mean, mm-hmm. you just have great tree coverage and it's just picturesque. It's Hallmark mm-hmm. movie. Bring your bike out. Bring the kids. Bring the family. Bring your second Tinder date, whoever you need to bring. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. The trail crosses the Little Sugar and other Sugar Rivers. You have great kind of wood bridges that go over it with little terraces above if you want to catch your breath, get a little shade, or just admire the beauty.
There's actually a little tiny tunnel in there, too.
Really?
On that one, yeah. But there's larger ones. The Sugar River is a great one in southern Wisconsin. But if you want to be in the Driftless and be in the heart, there's another one with some major tunnels, and it's very, very famous. The first ever rail to trail, Jake. And you've got it.
The Elroy Sparta Trail.
Very good.
Yes. And I do want to mention with the last trail, and this will go for the three I have, you do need to have the Wisconsin State Trail Pass while mm-hmm. using these ones. But the Elroy Sparta State Trail, this was my favorite to research just because of how cool looking it is. You know, you feel truly like you're going back in time, and because you kind of are. I mean, this is a series of three tunnels that were all built back in the 1870s.
Pre-dynamite, by the way.
Really?
Hand dug.
Mm.
And that's phenomenal because one of them is 3,810 feet long. Mm. And it's so long that you can't even see light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a slight bend in the middle, so you can't see.
That's what that is. Okay. Yeah.
And it's something crazy because when you're in a tunnel like that, especially when it's long, the temperature becomes whatever the average annual temperature is where you are. It's like the temperature of groundwater.
I remember you saying that. So it's actually really nice if you're going on a bike ride and it's a hot day.
It's about 48, 49 degrees in those tunnels year round.
Wow.
So it's warmer in the winter, but colder in the summer.
Yeah.
And if it's 85 degrees and you're pedaling and you're all sweaty and shorts and a t-shirt, you walk in there, it's like, oh, this is refreshing. But about halfway through, you're icicling up a little bit.
Got to ramp it up.
Bicycling. You do have to get off and walk through those tunnels. And it's a good idea too. But it's wild because there's water seeping in and through.
Ooh.
But it's been like that since 1871 when they dug the tunnels. So mm-hmm. it's not like some people are like, oh my God, is this going to collapse? No, it's not going to collapse. It's fine. But it's amazing the work that they did on that. And then the railroad only lasted into the maybe 40s, 50s.
Wow, not long at all.
So they pulled the rails up and the trail itself, I think it was 1967 when it first opened.
Wow.
But it was the first time they had ever pulled up railroad rails and establish something as a bike trail that put crushed limestone on it and boom.
So cool. Yeah. I mean, look, that's on the top of my choice. I don't have a bike here in Madison anymore. I got mine stolen in college right off my front stoop.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was a beater bike for my buddy. It wasn't a great bike by any means, but yeah, that was a sad day.
Okay.
Well. Yeah, you know, it probably belongs to someone that needed it more than me now, but you know, I've been reluctant to buy a new one ever since. So once I get mine, I do want to go back. It is a 34.8 mile point-to-point trail. Like you said earlier, limestone trail, for those of you, you know, that care about material you're biking on, this is news to me. I don't know anything about that.
Crushed limestone that's matted down is good for mountain bike tires, and it's packed enough for road tires to ride well on it. So
great to know. Yeah. Thank you. And popular for fishing, hiking, obviously biking.
Definitely make a day or a weekend of it. When I first did it, I was 9 years old. It was my parents, me, and then my friend's parents and their daughter. And we rode from Elroy to Sparta, stayed overnight in Sparta, and then rode back.
So cool.
And it was a great time. I mean, that weekend resonates with me to this day. And what's really cool about rail to trails is that railroads couldn't be built too steeply, right? You have a grade of, I think it has to be less than 3 or 4% or some incredibly low number.
Interesting. I've never actually thought about that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I guess you can't really have like what.
You don't have hills on railroads.
Right.
Right?
Except the little choo-choo who thought he couldn't. Could.
Right. and he thought he could and he was successful. However, when you're hauling all that freight on a real train, it doesn't work that way.
Hmm.
So it turns out you have to build railroads with very gradual ups and downs. So, and there's a lot of abrupt hills in the Driftless area. So you'll be biking gradually uphill, gradually downhill. So you barely notice it. But one thing you'll notice is you're flush with the rest of the ground around you at one point.
Hmm.
And then at some point you look around and you're like, oh my God, the ground's way down there. You know, suddenly you're up high.
That's cool.
And then other points, you know, you're going down and the land goes up around you. And when you approach those tunnels, that's an indication you're going into a tunnel. Is suddenly the land on either side starts going above you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you get a heads up that the tunnels are coming.
That's so cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. And one of those tunnels, by the way, you go under Highway 71, which parallels.
Through a tunnel. That's cool. Yeah,
which parallels 71 also goes Elroy to Sparta.
Okay.
And you crisscross it a number of times. And then there's Kendall, Norwalk, and Wilton, which are the three towns that are between Elroy and Sparta that you go through the heart of. And especially for towns like Wilton and all that, part of their economy depends on people riding those bikes and eating in the restaurants and staying overnight in Airbnbs and stuff. So it's a great time.
Let's do a test in the summer. I'll take my bike. You drive 10 miles an hour on the road and see who gets to the end of the place first.
I'm sure everybody would love me doing that on the road.
Probably
we'll do
not.
It at night.
You'll hear the honking.
So I have to know, Eric, does the Elroy Sparta State Trail connect to the 400 State Trail?
Yes. And the La Crosse one on the north end.
Okay.
Elroy Sparta Trail is part of a nice network. And I should give a shout out now to the 400 State Trail, which is named after the train that used to run on there.
Mm.
So when you're in Elroy, and Elroy's kind of a hub, Elroy and Sparta are both hubs of these bike trails. Sparta's the bicycling capital of America, as they like to point out. But the 400 trail goes south from Elroy down to Reedsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the original path of that 400 train line. And it was called that because it connected Chicago to the Twin Cities. It was 400 miles in 400 minutes.
Mm.
Wow.
So it must have been so cool at the time to ride that, right? I've done Amtrak from Milwaukee to St. Paul, and that's kind of cool. But this 400 liner must have been awesome. And along the trail, you have Laval, which is a beautiful little town. There's Waniwok. Waniwok, I always called it Waniwok, and everybody there says Waniwok. So I don't know. But that's a pleasant little town. Union Center, which is 4 miles between Waniwok and Elroy. It kind of parallels Highway 80 and 33 a little bit. And we actually filmed on the 400 State Trail from Reedsburg going north a little bit in a recent episode.
Oh, which
on
one?
On Sauk County.
Oh, the Sauk County episode.
So you'll see me biking on that trail. And yeah, you go right through the heart of these towns. And that's what's so great about the railroads.
Hmm.
You know, they used to go through the heart of town. So you see all the historic buildings and just everything along the way. So it's very Instagrammable and it follows the Baraboo River and you run over that a number of times. And that's more of a four season trail too. You can do a lot of winter sports on there. And 400statetrail.org is a website dedicated to it with more info.
The Cabin is brought to you by Praise the Pines. Don't miss Big Daddy Weave as the headliner with over 1 million social media followers and their hit single Heaven Changes Everything. They're on a nationwide tour spreading their message of faith and freedom. Joining them are opening acts Hannah Kerr and Austin French, along with expert speaker Bob Lenz. Get ready for a day of uplifting music and inspiring messages in the beautiful Northwoods of Wisconsin. For more information, visit praisethepines.org.
Awesome.
All right, well, let's go north. Let's go up to northwest, I guess, to, or we can go north, Jake, where we've got the Fox River Trail.
Yeah, we'll go the opposite direction to the Fox River Trail. Before I get into it, Eric, have you hit this one before out in Green Bay?
I have not. I got to look up where that one goes.
Okay.
Because I was going to mention another one that goes west from Green Bay and hook that up to the Fox River.
Yeah, I'll clue in our listeners a little bit to this one while you do that. And it's a 25.8 mile point-to-point trail based in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's considered to be an easier route. It takes about 7.5 hours to complete. Again, popular for road biking, running, walking, and it's unlikely that you'll encounter a bunch of people on this trail. It's typically not the busiest, and the best times to visit it are April through October. the Fox River itself is just stunning. I mean, just gorgeous river. And the fact that you could bike alongside of it is a pretty special thing to me.
Yeah, it's neat. Fox is one of the few northward flowing rivers on the North American continent. And I mean, its origins are down by Portage, for crying out loud. But we're talking about a section. You kind of start near the Niagara Escarpment in Calumet County. Not kind of by Ledgestone Vineyard and Winery, which is a pretty cool place.
Okay.
And then you go up past Forest Junction and everything. And then it starts paralleling the Fox River up into Green Bay. So you get a nice look at the Niagara Escarpment and the land around there. You parallel this river and a lot of the towns along it, and places like De Pere and all that are right on the river. You go right through the heart of that too. And then if you want to be adventurous and go west of Green Bay, the Mountain Bay Trail, 83 plus miles, it connects all the way west to Wausau.
Wow.
Or the Wausau area. And so that follows an old rail line. And so you go through Shawnee, like the heart of Shawnee, and a bunch of other towns on your way towards like Rothschild, Schofield, that area, the suburbs, if you will, of Wausau. So if you're one of those people who wants to go from point to point and really make your mark going across a big chunk of the state, the Mountain Bay Trail is another great connector. There's a lot of good trails in and out of Green Bay.
Yeah. And then even further west, we've got one called Gandy Dancer Trail up near.
Yeah, it's an interesting name, isn't it?
I love that name, Gandy Dancer.
Gandy Dancer.
It sounds like an Elton John song.
It reminds me of some like place that you would find in Candyland game.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now she's made it to the Gumdrop Gandy Dancer Trail.
That's good, yeah.
Apparently we're playing in Britain. So
I don't know, it just always sounds better, doesn't it, when you speak an English accent?
It sounds classier for some reason.
I think so.
I'm sometimes smarter, I don't know why. The Gandy Dancer State Trail actually has two segments in Wisconsin because it veers into Minnesota for a little bit. Between the Wisconsin and Minnesota border, it's almost all river, but there's a segment that's land. So the Wisconsin-Minnesota border is the St. Croix, Mississippi rivers. And then it's also the St. Louis River by Superior going up into Lake Superior, right? Where Duluth and Superior are. Well, where those two rivers kind of flow away from each other in terms of proximity, there's just a land border for, I don't know, maybe 70 miles between Minnesota and Wisconsin. There's very few roads that cross it. It's funny. It's like a no man's land over there. But the Gandy Dancer State Trail, formerly a railroad, crisscrosses that. So it essentially starts down in St. Croix Falls, which is by Interstate State Park, such a beautiful area we've talked about multiple times. And it runs the southern segment 47 miles. And it goes through Centuria and Milltown and Luck and Frederick and Lewis and Siren and Webster. And at Danbury, which is about where Highway 77 and 35 meet, that's where the border between Wisconsin and Minnesota leaves the St. Croix River and becomes a land border going straight north. And so you go really close to that, and then you travel over into Minnesota, which is this mysterious land where people follow the Vikings.
Oh, geez.
And the movie Fargo is set, even though Fargo's in North Dakota. And oh, yeah. Oh, geez. You're absolutely right, Jay.
Geez.
So you're in Minnesota for 31 miles, don't you know?
We're going to have to get some hot dish.
Oh, yeah. Hot dish and casserole.
Oh, geez.
It's funny. I'm making fun of Minnesota for things we do in Wisconsin. But then it crosses back into the state for 15 miles. And then it connects up with the Saunders State Trail just south of Superior. And that will take you into Superior. Again, former railroad corridor, but the name is tied in to the work crews who laid the railroad tracks. They used these tools made by the Gandy Tool Company, which is based out of Chicago. They were known to work by keeping their voices, feet, and tools in harmony, leading them to be called the Gandy Dancers. It sounds like a play.
I love
it. Or a musical of some sort.
It's like synchronized building.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm picturing like one of those old Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse, that they're all moving in synchrony. I've been working on the railroad type
It evokes that kind of vision, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There is that song. They're all the Gandy Dancers, you guys.
I guess so.
Oh.
So it's neat history. And if you want a trail that's away from a lot of stuff, where you're out in the middle of, you know, just it's serenity out there. The Gandy Dancers are a really good one. And just to the east, paralleling it kind of sort of between the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area and Superior, if you want to stay in Wisconsin and not venture over into that state that was your original home state, Anna, the Wild River State Trail is a good one, too. That cuts through like Spooner and Trigo and all of that. So
I feel like this is definitely right up Ramsey's alley.
Yeah, he would ride his bike on that with all of the camping equipment on his back.
Yep.
And then set up camp and do a little bushcrafting.
I'm sure he would, or he would probably just go without anything except What did he say? The five things, the five C's, the five that you C's, need, the cordage, yeah, and the cutting. And the...
We'll have to get him back soon for some more camping tips.
We do. We should get Ramsey back on.
All right.
Yeah, so I think that covers our definitely non-comprehensive list of all the bike trails there are in Wisconsin, but some cool ones that are all, you know, rail to trail, and definitely cool to kind of get an overview of the network that goes through Wisconsin, because at some point, not that all of these are connected, but a lot of them are connected, and we're going to try and find a map where we can, you know, put that in the show notes for you guys, because I think it would be really cool to provide them with something that shows them how they all connect, and if we can even show them where, you know, the one I was talking about, Eric, that goes from Madison down to Illinois. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a fun one.
That's a collection of trails, too.
Yeah, it might even connect to Milwaukee now. So I think that Jefferson County said that they were working on one that was connecting. I think it's the Inner Urban Bike Trail. They had just opened up in Jefferson County a year and a half ago, a year ago.
See, and I know there's an Inner Urban Trail with that name. If you're in Milwaukee County on the Oak Leaf, which is the big circle one,
it might connect to that.
You can connect to an Inner Urban Trail that takes you north through Cedarburg and Grafton into Port Washington and all the way up to Sheboygan.
Got it.
Which ran on the old Interurban Rail line.
My guess is that that's what was they were connecting now to Jefferson County,
sure,
and they're
was,
just extending off of it. Yeah. So
and there's trails and there's rail to trails like that in every part of the state.
Yeah, wow. It's just a big spider web of trails. So
and it's a growing network, and I love that they keep growing it.
So get out those bikes and put that helmet on, and make sure you turn in next week, June 4th, as we delve into Madison's rich history as the Dairy State in celebration of June being Dairy Month. Join us for a special episode featuring a guest expert who will enlighten us on the fascinating journey of the dairy industry from its origins to the present day. We will reveal who that guest is next week during the episode, so you don't want to miss it. That's all for today on The Cabin.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted and produced by Eric Paulson, Annalise Beckman, and me, Jake Rome. Audio engineering and video teasers by Jake Rome and Nick Cardarella, with social media by Adeline Savinek. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover MediaWorks. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave a review.